Chapter 7, Nephrology. Topic 10, Cystic Kidney Disease. Today we delve into the distinguishing features of benign and malignant cysts. Let us begin with the basic differentiation criteria based on size. Benign cysts typically present with a diameter less than 3 centimeters. On the other hand, malignant cysts often exceed 3 centimeters in diameter. Moving on to the appearance of these cysts, benign cysts are characterized by their round shape and thin, smooth walls. They primarily contain cystic components, making them appear more uniform in imaging studies. Malignant cysts, in contrast, demonstrate irregular shapes and are thick-walled. They frequently exhibit a combination of solid and cystic components, hinting at a more aggressive nature. Another key differentiator is the enhancement behavior. When contrast material is used during imaging, benign cysts do not enhance, indicating a lack of significant vascularity. In stark contrast, malignant cysts enhance with contrast, suggesting increased vascularity, a hallmark of malignant tissue growth. When examining septations within these cysts, benign variants tend to have few septations. Malignant cysts display multiple septations, reflecting their complex internal structure and potentially aggressive behavior. The clinical presentation of these cysts also offers valuable clues. Benign cysts are often asymptomatic and discovered incidentally during imaging for unrelated reasons. They typically do not require follow-up. Malignant cysts, however, may present with symptoms such as flank pain, hematuria, and hypertension. These symptoms, coupled with imaging findings, necessitate a thorough urological evaluation to ascertain the nature of the cyst and to decide on an appropriate course of action. Next, we'll discuss autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease, a significant genetic disorder that affects the kidneys and has broader implications on systemic health. Autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease is characterized by the growth of numerous cysts in the kidneys. While the disease often remains asymptomatic, especially in its early stages, it can manifest through a variety of signs and symptoms. These include flank pain, abdominal pain and distension, hematuria, dysuria, and hypertension. The presence of hypertension is particularly noteworthy as it reflects the systemic impact of kidney disease and underscores the importance of comprehensive patient care. The diagnosis of autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease primarily relies on imaging and genetic testing. An ultrasound of the kidneys reveals multiple large renal cysts, a hallmark of the disease. Genetic testing identifies mutations in the PKD1 and PKD2 genes, which can be found in the patient and their first-degree relatives. This genetic insight not only aids in diagnosis, but also in the understanding of the disease's inheritance patterns. Management strategies for this condition focus on controlling its symptoms and preventing complications. Blood pressure control is paramount and is typically achieved with angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers. Additionally, extrarenal complications are managed according to the standards applicable to any patient, reflecting the need for a holistic approach to care. Complications of autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease are diverse and can significantly impact the patient's quality of life. These include chronic kidney disease, end-stage renal disease, and an increased risk of renal cell carcinoma. Other complications such as recurrent urinary tract infections, nephrolithiasis, diverticulosis, hepatic and pancreatic cysts, ventral and inguinal hernias, mitral valve prolapse, aortic stenosis, and cerebral aneurysm further illustrate the systemic nature of this disease. The next cystic kidney disease is autosomal recessive polycystic kidney disease, which is primarily a pediatric disorder. Unlike its autosomal dominant counterpart, this condition follows an autosomal recessive inheritance pattern, yet similarly results in the development of multiple renal cysts and progressive renal failure. A notable association of autosomal recessive polycystic kidney disease is with Potter syndrome. This connection is critical to understand due to its profound impact on fetal development. The renal dysfunction inherent to this disease leads to decreased urine output, which in turn results in decreased amniotic fluid production. Amniotic fluid is essential for fetal growth and lung development. Thus, its reduction can lead to pulmonary hypoplasia and restricted growth in utero, hallmark features of Potter syndrome. This syndrome underscores the significant consequences that renal pathology can have beyond the kidneys themselves, affecting overall fetal development and viability. The management of autosomal recessive polycystic kidney disease shares similarities with the approach taken for autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease. The primary goals of treatment are to manage symptoms, slow the progression of renal disease, and address complications as they arise. However, given the potentially severe presentation and complications associated with autosomal recessive polycystic kidney disease, especially in the context of its association with Potter syndrome, specialized care and early intervention become particularly crucial. Lastly is medullary sponge kidney. Medullary sponge kidney is a renal condition characterized by a developmental malformation of the terminal collecting ducts in the pericolicial region of the renal pyramids. The clinical manifestations of medullary sponge kidney often revolve around recurrent urinary tract infections, hematuria, and nephrolithiasis. Diagnostic procedures for medullary sponge kidney include renal ultrasound and intravenous pyelogram, the latter of which can reveal a distinctive paintbrush pattern indicative of the malformations within the collecting ducts. The management of medullary sponge kidney is primarily supportive, focusing on the treatment of symptoms and prevention of complications. This approach may include measures to manage and prevent urinary tract infections, strategies to reduce the risk of stone formation, and monitoring for any signs of renal dysfunction.